Scripture tonight, 1 Kings chapter 15. Last week we saw Abijah, also called Abijam, also called Abiah. So in the Kings he is named Abijah. In the Chronicle in the Chronicles I believe it's Abijam, and in the book of Matthew Abiah. And somebody says, why does somebody have three names? Well, I've been called Jeff and Jeffrey and Jefferson. So there you go, right there. It's according if it was my mom or somebody else or one of my friends or whatever it might be. And so you can have more than one name. And so we saw that Abijah, he is the father of Asa. And Asa is going to be our main character tonight from the Scripture. So we're back in the south. We're there with Rehoboam. And then after Rehoboam, it was Abijah. And after Abijah, it's Asa. Man, my mind went blank again. And so we saw that in the days of Abijah that he warred with Jeroboam. And basically, after Abijah comes to the throne, even though he's there 3 years, I believe... that God gave him great victory because of what they said, because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. And it's a great story in the Chronicles that we see. And then tonight, I'm going to ask you not only to be in 1 Kings, but also 1 Chronicles 16. You can hold your place there. We're going to go back and forth a couple of places. Now, when we begin to read the story of Asa, which is the son of Abijah, man, things are going really good. It's a great story until you get to the end of his life. And that's unfortunate because, you know, I ought to preach to the older people tonight. You can spend your whole life doing that which is right in the sight of God and blow it at the end. And that's exactly what happened to Asa. And we need to ask God to help us to finish the course. Help us be like the apostle. Aren't you glad that Paul was able to say, I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. That's what our desire should be tonight. So not only to be right, but to finish right. And basically what happens with Asa, he starts out great, and there's literally revival in the land of Judah in the south until he makes a league with Ben-Hadad of Syria, who, by the way, was one of the most wicked kings there was. Everything was good until he did that. So we got to go back and forth because there's more to the story in 1 Chronicles. But let's begin reading tonight, 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse number 16. Now, the Bible says this, and there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. Now, time out here just a second. I'm thinking, wait a minute. This is not Jeroboam, and this is not the son of Jeroboam, but this is a king, this is a man who assassinated the king, Jeroboam's son, and he becomes king, and he's the king in the north at the same time Asa is, and we'll look at that. But there's a war between him and Baasha all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might not suffer any to go out or to come in to Asa, king of Judah. Now, basically, here's the deal. There's a revival going on in Judah. There's things that are going on in Judah that are spiritual, and there are things that are going on that are good because Asa's influence is causing the people in Judah to turn back to the ways of David and the ways of the law. And guess what? There's people in the north that go, hey, I want to be a part of that. I don't want to be a part of this cow worship. I don't want to be a part of this assassinations and wickedness of Jeroboam and all of the priests that paid their way to become priests. They're not Levites. I want to go back to Jerusalem. I want to go back and worship God the way that I'm supposed to. So Baasha said, man, I can't allow this. So he built a fort, or he built a wall in Ramah so that the people could not go from the north back to the south. So that's what you see in verse 17. Our attention is turned back to Asa. Then Asa took all the silver and the gold that were left in the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and delivered them into the hand of his servants, and King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad. Now, this is the wickedness that takes place. Now, the reason we got to go to 1 Chronicles 16 is because there's a lot of things that the Bible says that there were revival that was taking place and the conditions that were in the land. And 1 Kings 15 is a very small summary of what happened. Basically, there was war. Asa did that which was right. He followed the ways of God. And then it came down to the end where he says that he delivers things to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tamaron, the son of Hezron, the king of Syria that dwelt at Damascus, saying. And by the way, you can't make a league with the devil. It blows my mind, God's people who want to yoke up with those that are outside the will of God. And so he makes a league between me and thee, and between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent unto thee a present of silver and gold. Come and break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. So in other words, the war between Baasha and Asa was so bad that Asa was willing to compromise and call in Ben-Hadad. But yet, when you look at the Chronicles, you will find out there was the Lucums and there was the Egyptians, and they came against Asa. They had a great army. But in the Chronicles, it says that Asa believed God. Now we get down to here, and he begins to believe man. So Ben-Hadad, verse 20, hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of the host which he had against the cities of Israel, and smote Ijon, and Dan, and Abel-Makah, and all of Cinneroth with all the land of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard thereof, that he left off building Ramah, and dwelt in Teraz. Then King Asa made a proclamation throughout all Judah, none was exempt, and they took away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, whereof Baasha had built it, and King Asa builded them in Gibeah of Benjamin and Mizpah. Father, I pray that you would help in the preaching of your word tonight and in the story of Asa, the grandson of Rehoboam, the great-grandson of Solomon, the great-great-grandson of King David. And Lord, we see that this man understood the truths. He understood the law. He understood the blessings that his father, Abijah, had even been able to enjoy, even though his father was wicked. And the Bible says in the Chronicles that this man's heart was turned toward God and that he believed God. Yet we read at the end of his life that he makes a league with Ben-Hadad, the wicked king of Syria, and causes sin to come into the camp, as we look at that in the Chronicles. I pray, Lord, that you would help now in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to go quickly, if I could, to 2 Chronicles, not 1 Chronicles, I apologize. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 is where you'll need to be in just a few minutes. But let me just kind of give you a little synopsis of the story here of Asa, the son of Abijah. Now, under Asa, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, there is a great revival that is taking place under the leadership of Asa. I believe in part it's because his father Abijah, even though he was a wicked king, and God only allowed him to reign 3 years, he did two things in his short reign as the king. And we saw this in the story last week. First of all, he defeated Jeroboam to the point. Now remember, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, is the one that has caused Israel to the north to sin greatly, in that he changes the priesthood and allows anybody that had enough money to become a priest that had nothing to do with Levi, therefore had nothing to do with the Word of God. And he set up calf worship in Bethel and in Dan. And he said this, "It is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Let's worship the gods of Egypt." Because that's what calf worship is. It is the worship that was found in Egypt. It's exactly the same worship that Aaron did when Moses went to the mountain and they said about Moses, we don't know where he's at. Well, you should have known where he was at because he told you where he was going. He said, I'm going to go to the mountain of God. I'm going to be with God and God's going to give me the law and I'm going to come back. But while that's going on, Aaron says, take off your rings and take off your jewelry and let's make a molten calf just like they did in Egypt. And it worked out for Egypt, maybe it'll work out for us. But when Moses got down there and saw the wickedness that was going on, Aaron said it like this, well, we just threw all the jewelry in the fire and out popped a calf. Well, not only was he an idolater worshiper, but he was a liar. And I'm just telling you the wickedness, but yet the grace of God is shown in that God still allowed Aaron to become the high priest. It's amazing. Anyhow, so we've got calf worship going on in the north, and we've got good kings and bad kings going on in the south. And so he did this. He did two things. He defeated Jeroboam to the point that the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 13 and verse number 18. Look at this. 2 Chronicles 13, 18. It says, verse 20. 2 Chronicles 13:20. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. And then the Bible says Abijah waxed mighty, and the rest of the acts of Abijah and his ways are written in the story of Prophet Iddo. So number one, he defeated Jeroboam to the point that the Bible said he will never recover. And the second thing that Abijah did good was verse number 18. That's what I was going to get to. 2 Chronicles 13, 18. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. Now this is under the leadership of Abijah. But yet in 1 Kings it says that he was wicked, only was able to reign for 3 years. But at least we see that God allowed him to defeat Jeroboam and take back some of the cities in the north. Now, because of these things, when Asa comes to the throne in Judah, there's a house cleaning taking place, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and 16. The Sodomites are taken out of the land. The idols are removed. And here's this. Even his own mother was expelled from her position of being queen because of her wickedness. Now listen, that's real revival going on, that even you are able to take the influence of your mother and say, no, we're not doing that. We're going to do it the way of God. So that's what I mean when I say there's a house cleaning going on. Now the Bible also says that the high places where the sacrifices were offered were not completely removed. Isn't it amazing that sometimes we just allow one thing or two things in our life when we should remove all things? And the silver and the gold vessels are dedicated to the house of the Lord. Asa was a leader that inspired the people to do right and follow the Lord. Now, I'm going to get to 2 Chronicles in just a minute, but I want you to understand that he was going in the right direction. He was doing the right thing. But then in the book of 1 Kings 15, all of a sudden, After we look at some of these victories that Asa has, like in 2 Chronicles chapter number 14, look at this. This is some of the fill-in blanks. 2 Chronicles 14, the Bible says, so Abijah, his father, slept with his fathers, and they buried in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. Now look at this. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa, this is where the revival takes place. Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and he broke down the images, and he cut down the groves. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God their fathers and to do the law and commandment. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years. because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us. Because, look at this, we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought Him and He hath given us rest on every side. So they built and they prospered. Now listen, this is what God said would happen. If you follow me, keep my commandments, obey me, follow the law, call it, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. That's what God wants to do for all of us. He wants to bless us. And then the Bible says in verse number 9 that there was an army that came out. The Ethiopians. I said Egyptians. I apologize. It was the Ethiopians that came out against them. And then look at verse 11. Asa cries unto the Lord. And he says, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God. For we rest in on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee. Man, this sounds like revival. So you've got the images being torn down. You've got the leadership of obeying the law and obeying the commandments and listening to the Levites and reading the law of God and building cities and God prospering them and them tearing down idols. And also in here talks about how he just set his mother's because she built some kind of idol. He took her out of that position. And the Bible tells us that all of this came place. And then you go down to verse number 8 of chapter 15, 2 Chronicles 15. Well, let's look at 2 Chronicles 15, verse 3. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found. Isn't that amazing? You see, the truth is when we go away from God, God's still the same place He was when we left. That's the same for Israel. And in those times, verse 5 says, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. What does this mean? It means that God is blessing them because of their faithfulness. This is revival. And the nation was destroyed of nation and the city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and some, and they fell to him out of Israel in abundance. Do you see this? Here's what I'm saying. When you think about Manasseh and Ephraim and Simon, these are people in the north, and they said, hey, we want to be a part of this. We want to be a part of what's going on. We want to be a part of God. We don't like this calf worship. We want to be a part of what God's doing. You see, there was people still in the land of the north that was not in agreement with Jeroboam and his wickedness. And when Asa stood up and said, this is the way it's going to be, they said, hey, we want to be a part of that. So look at verse number 10. So it says, Ephraim and Manasseh and Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. They said, hey, we'd rather be down here with you, not with Baasha and not with Jeroboam and not with the wickedness of the north. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Listen to this. These things have not changed. This sounds more like David. That whosoever, look at verse 13. That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. That's pretty radical. But in verse 14 it says, they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. And Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Now look at verse 16, because this is where I was talking about his mother. And also concerning Micaiah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen. That's pretty bold when you throw your mama out. But why did he do that? Because she made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol, stamped it, burned it at the brook Kindred, just like Moses did with the golden calf, and made him drink it. Oh, Moses did. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Wow. Now, I call this revival. I don't know what you call it, but I call it revival. Here is Asa, a leader that inspired the people to do right and follow the Lord. He was going in the right direction. He was doing the right thing. And what was God doing? He was blessing him. Now, you would think that if you do the right thing and God blesses you, well, you'd just keep doing the right thing, no matter what. Here's the problem. He trusted God. Would we agree with that? And then he decides to trust man instead. These verses teach us to guard ourselves against the wiles of the devil. Now go back to our, again, I'm going to come back to 2 Chronicles, but go back to 1 Kings chapter 15. And I want you to see what the Bible says here. This battle that takes place between Baasha and Asa. Verse number 15. And he brought, or the Bible says, he brought the things which his father, we read this very same, this was the verse we just read. He brought in the things which his father had dedicated, that would be Abijah, and the things which he himself had dedicated, and he brings them into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels. Then the Bible says, there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah that he might not suffer any to go out or to come into Asa, king of Judah. Now remember, the fill-in is in Chronicles because it says there was people of the north that were like, hey, I want to be a part of this. And Baasha's like, no, we got to build a wall. We can't allow this. And they're like, no, we want to be a part of the revival. The Bible teaches us that there is a battle between good and evil always. There always will be. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against darkness and against wickedness in high places. I'm telling you, we can't see some of the things that are going on. In fact, you sit in a church service like this, and I'm telling you, God is wanting to work in the hearts of people, and the devil is wanting to try to do anything he can to disrupt. You can be thinking about everything in the world, but you should be thinking about what's God trying to do right now. Telling you, I like sitting close to the front because I don't get distracted. And brother, believe me, I'm ADHD all the way. And if somebody doesn't have squirrel, focus. So it doesn't matter. We all got issues. But the devil will do anything he can to distract you. Here the battle is between the north and the south. Judah to the south and Israel to the north. And the battles were the worship of God versus the worship of golden calves. And I praise God that there is some people that go, I don't want to be here worshiping cows. I heard there's a revival going down there. I heard Abijah's son became the king down there, Asa. And I heard that he even threw his mother out the door because she made a grove and an idol. And I also heard that they're bringing back the priests and they're bringing back the law and they're bringing back the commandments. So it doesn't say this, so that means, hey, they're having the worship. They're having the Passover. They're having the Feast of the Tabernacles. They're having the things that God has commanded that we're to have. And we're up here with Jeroboam calf worship and I want to go down there. And basically it goes, I don't want you to go down there. And so there's this war going on between good and bad. And I'm telling you right now, the battle between truth and lies and obedience versus the rebellion towards God, those things are always going on. Always going on. Nothing has changed because we still face the same conflicts today. The reality is there's a heaven and there's a hell. There's a Jesus Christ the Savior and there's the devil. That the idea or the understanding that there's a heaven and a hell and there's a Savior, that truth is based upon the Word of God. And the liars say that the grave is the end, but God says, no, there's a heaven and there's a hell. You're going to go to one of those two places.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Man says, I want to be my own Savior. I'm going to be my own God, and I'm going to create my own utopia. It's never worked out.
Right.
The question is, which world do you live, the truth or the lie? Obedience says, I will yield and submit to God's will. And rebellion cries out, do that which is right in your own eyes and live your own way and don't tell me what to do. I don't like people telling me what to do. You're a rebel. Join the Marines. There's a battle of the mind. You hear me? There's a battle of the will. There's a battle in the heart. There's always been and there always will be. And you know why people go away from the things of God? You know why people leave good Bible preaching churches? Their heart.
That's right.
Their heart. They want to go somewhere where they can feel better about themselves. No, we need to go somewhere where we'll be confronted with the truth. One of the false gods. That one is false gods and one is a real God. One is a revival going on up in the north. There's people trying to escape that. You know why? Because I do believe this. There are still people that want to hear the truth. Asa and Baasha. Now think about Baasha. When you study it, you have to understand that Jeroboam was the king of the north. His son Nadab becomes the king after Jeroboam. But Baasha kills him. Look at 2 Chronicles. I think I got this right. 2 Chronicles 15. And look at verse number 25. No, it's 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 25. 1 Kings 15, 25. And Nadab, here we go, my bad. I'm keep going back to Kings and Chronicles. Look at 1 Kings 15, and Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah. And he reigned over Israel 2 years, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the way of his father and in his sin, whereof he made Israel to sin. And Baasha, the son of Ahijah, that's the third Ahijah now that we've seen. It was a very popular name. It's like saying John. Because we saw Abijah, who was the king, who was the son of Rehoboam. We saw Abijah, who was the son of Jeroboam that died. And now here's Baasha, the son of Ahijah that died of the house of Issachar. Look at this. He conspired against him, and Baasha smote him at Gibeah, which belongeth to the Philistines, for Nadab and all Israel laid siege to Gibeah. So now you have, that's how Baasha becomes the king. So in verse 28, even in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, did Baasha slay him and reign in his stead. And it came to pass, this is what Baasha did. It came to pass when he reigned that he smote all the house of Jeroboam. He left not to Jeroboam any that breathed until he had destroyed him, according unto the saying of the Lord which he spake by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. Remember that? And because of the sins of Jeroboam which he sinned, and which he made Israel to sin, by provocation whereof he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. And so now that's how Nadab, or Baasha, becomes the king. He kills Nadab. Now, let me get all that. So now you have Asa against Baasha, who were in battle, the Bible says, all the days all their days. 20 years. Now think about this. 20 years ago before this, listen, only 20 years earlier had they all been one nation under God. Under Solomon and Rehoboam, and then the kingdom split. Now, here's the sad part about Jeroboam and Baasha and Nadab and every king that you'll see. You will never see one good king in the north, ever. Zero, I think it's for 19. I always forget if it's 18 or 19. You know why, though? Because their heart was turned against God. Except for a few people who said, hey, I'd like to go down there where the revival is. They even built this wall. And with revival going on in the south, the people in the north had a desire. There's some people that had a desire, man, I'd like to go back to the way things used to be. We had somebody visit here a couple of years ago, and I ran into him, and then this same person said, well, we came to your church a couple of years ago. I said, oh, well, sorry you didn't come back. He goes, well, you know, your church reminds me of the way things used to be. And I said, well, why can't they always be like that?
Amen.
He said, I'd really like to come to your church, but my wife won't let me. I think that vein in my neck might have popped up a little bit there. That's where we're at. You see, there was people who wanted to go to Jerusalem and to worship. And they probably, some of them said, I'd like to go, but my wife won't let me. That was what was commanded by God. But Baasha built a wall so they couldn't go. Now, I think about this. Think about this. And in 1989, when the wall came down in Berlin. And then you go all the way back to the end of World War II when all of the things were going on and Russia was making their way and trying to take over Europe. And let me just tell you something about the wall that was built in Berlin. The wall in Europe was not built so that those from the West could go to the East. It was built so those from the East could not go to the West. That's exactly the same thing we read here. He's building this wall in Ramah because he doesn't want his people to escape. He doesn't want them to go down where there's freedom. Where there's prosperity. And where there's the Word of God. And by the way, the devil's trying to build walls even right now. Look at 2 Chronicles 15 and look at verse number 8 and verse number 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I know we're going back and forth, but these fills in the blank. 2 Chronicles 15, 8. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken up from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers which with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. The people in the north saw revival going on, and they wanted to be a part of it. There was an exodus from the north to the south. In fact, it was so great that Baasha feared a loss of power and control over his kingdom. So like the communists after World War II, he had to build a wall to keep them in. In 2005, I went to Germany. I went to, and we crossed over from the west into East Germany. Now, the wall is down in 1989, and this is 2005, so this is like 15 years later. But Brother Fred can attest to this. When we crossed the line from the west to the east, and listen, this is 15 years later, it was like going from daylight to dark. Drab buildings. Communist control. I've never seen people just in a bad way, sad condition. Now it's better now because you go over there now. The country of Germany has been able to redo the east. But even 15 years after the wall came down, it was oppressive. That's what dollars the devil pays out is oppression. He doesn't pay out in peace. He doesn't pay out in prosperity. He pays out in lies.
That's right.
There's always been a battle between good and evil. You could say Rhema was the Berlin Wall of its day. Baasha failed to realize that man's greatest need is a spiritual need, not a physical need. Those people hungered for the worship of the Lord, and they were willing to risk all they had to do what was right. They would have given up their inherited land in the north just to get to where the prosperity of God's people were. Because remember what we said this morning in the book of Matthew? The way that people got their land was by the tribe they were from. And Joshua said, okay, this part of the land is for the Ephraim tribe. And this part of the land is for Dan. And this part of the land is for Judah. And all this kind of stuff. They were willing to leave that. Hey, people are willing to leave wherever they're at to come to the United States of America. They're willing to leave their family. They're willing to leave their country. They're willing to leave that. And so this is a bunch of nonsense today to not be patriotic.
Amen.
We live in the greatest land in the world.
Right.
We've been blessed. And we should thank God for it.
Amen.
It is sad but many times true that a person has to travel a long distance just to find a good church. I got a letter in the mail several years ago. This was pre-COVID. It's like 2018 or 2019. And it was from a family who said, and they gave like $300. They said, this is an offering for the church. Said, we live an hour and a half from a good, independent, fundamental Baptist church. My husband, he said, I work for the railroad. And he named up where he was at. And he said, we leave at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning to drive an hour and a half to be in a good church. He said, but because of the distance and because of the weather and all that, we can't do that at night. So he said, we just were going through the internet and we found Berean Baptist Church and we've been listening to live stream on Sunday nights. Now, live stream is good, but it ain't the same as being in church.
Amen.
I mean, I'm glad for it.
Amen.
But it's not the same.
Right.
And you know what? That's a sad day when you have to watch live stream because it's too far to travel to go to a church. That's what they were doing. Do you know why people are willing to travel a great distance? Because listen to this. Because there's still people hungry for the Word of God.
Amen.
Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Or is Sunday just a fill-in? Do you anticipate what might be learned in Sunday school and the preaching? Do you read the Bible? Isn't it amazing? TJ brought this out and I said, yeah, I meant to mention that this morning because I noticed that on Friday as I was reading through my Bible reading that the very day we start the book of Matthew is like when we're reading through the book of Matthew. Only God can do stuff like that. If you think that I figure that kind of stuff out, you have no idea who I am. I know guys, oh, I have my messages ready for the next 3 months. I'm like, what? I'll be lucky to have it done before the next 3 hours. Before I have to preach. So I'm just saying, God knows how to do that. So the question is, are you reading through the Bible? Are you reading through the Word of God? Then I find out, well, I don't read the Word of God. What? You don't hunger and thirst after righteousness? You don't get in the Word of God every day and spend time with God in prayer? You're not spiritually minded? What are you? Why? Sunday just a fill-in? Kids, listen to me. When I say kids, I'm talking about 18 and younger. You have to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ yourself because your parents can't do it for you. They can make you read the Bible. They can make you brush your teeth. But hopefully you brush your teeth because it's the right thing to do. And I hope you use soap when you take a bath. Only juniors don't do that. Juniors will go to camp and go, they'll say, did you take a shower? No, but I went swimming. That's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Do you know why people are willing to travel distances? Because they want the Word of God. If you're hungry for the spiritual things, then you'll get in line to eat. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If a man never hungered, he'd never eat. If he does not eat, he cannot live. If a man never thirsted, he would not drink. And if he did not drink, he would get dehydrated and die. If Jesus Christ lives in you, He will set in motion that which enables you to hunger and thirst after that which is righteous and that which is right. It means to live right and to do right. If you did not get hungry in the physical body, that would be very abnormal. In fact, the truth is I have to tell my body no, because it's always going, hey, I want a ding-dong. And I want Andy's ice cream on top of it. And after that, since all that sugar, then I want to eat a box of potato chips. Do you know what happens when you get hungry? You want to eat. Is everybody getting this? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritual. When someone is sick and in the hospital, you know what is one of the things they ask you when you're in the hospital? Are you hungry? And the reason they ask you that is it means that if you're hungry, it means you're getting better. These people in the north had been fed a bunch of lies, and spiritually they were starving to death, and they heard about the revival in the south, and the reason they wanted to get down there was man needs spiritual food. Amen. And the truth is, you can't live off of ding-dongs and Andy's frozen custard. You can't. You need meat and vegetables and fruit. Amen. But here's the tale. Now, this is the apex. And now look at verse number 18 in 1 Kings 15, because here's the mistake. Asa took all the silver and the gold that was left in the treasury house of the Lord and the treasuries of the king's house and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad. Now, You can study Ben-Hadad, and he's going to come up several times in the next messages or so. He ain't no good. Ben-Hadad is a wicked king. He's the king of Syria. And he makes a league with him, and he said, basically, I'll paraphrase it and then look at it. Basically, Asa goes, I'm getting tired. Man, I fought these battles. I fought the Ethiopians. I fought the Sukkims. I fought all these people. God's been with me. But, you know, I'm getting tired. And, man, I'm just tired of fighting. And I'm just tired of fighting. Be very careful when you get older. The last thing we need is passive leadership. Well, I'm just tired. And I've heard preachers say this. Well, I'm getting tired. Then get out of the pastorate. I hear older men, well, I'm just tired. No, you need to fight for your children and you need to fight for your grandchildren. And Asa just says, basically, I got tired. And so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send some money down there to Ben-Hadad. Let him fight Baasha for me. That's not Ben-Hadad's battle. That's your battle. And Asa makes a mistake. He forgets about the power of God, and he forgets about the delivery of the past, and he forgets about all the Lord had done for them, and he forgets about the revival, and he forgot about those people in the north that knew that they needed to go to church down in the south. And you'd think that he would call the people to confess sin, to fast, to seek the Lord. But you know what he does? He turns to politics. All right, now go to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Again, we're filling in the blanks. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And look at verse number 9. Look at all that God had done. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of a thousand and 300 chariots and came into Marsha. And Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephath and Marion. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee and in thy name, and we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Now here's the thing we need to understand in our life. If God can do it once, He can do it twice. In fact, God lets it happen the first time so that when the second time comes up, He goes, hey, remember what happened the first time? What Asa does in our text is he makes an alliance with an idol worshiper. He puts his faith in something he could see rather than something he could not see. I cannot see what's ahead of me, but God can.
Amen.
Psalm 118:9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes.
Yes,
now here, you can take this verse right here and say, Asa, it is better to trust in the Lord to put your confidence in Ben-Hadad.
Right.
Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. God sometimes allows trials in our life just to teach us that we can trust Him. And He don't always answer overnight. I love Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It's a favorite of many people. Trust in the Lord with half of thy heart. No, all thy heart. And lean not unto thy own understanding. I always wish God would put in there in a parenthesis and says, because our understanding stinks. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Asa gave that which was dedicated to the Lord, that which belonged to God, to the king of Syria. Kind of reminds me of the letter we read tonight. I kind of knew this. That young man who got saved. And he said, well, you know, God, I'm in a strait and I've got to take care of my family, so I'm just not going to tithe. So God shut it all down. He gets convicted and he starts tithing and doing what's right, and then God gives him a better job. Some of you people wonder why God's not blessing you. Well, maybe you ain't tithing. Wonder why you can't get the right kind of job. You wonder why God is not blessing you. You wonder why it's just not working out. Well, are you tithing? Are you giving to missions? Because if you're not, you're not giving the Lord opportunity to work. Malachi 3 said, will a man rob God? You have robbed me. But you say, well, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? That old boy was getting cursed. He paid all his tithes back. That young man we read about. I said, I'm a man. And so God said, now I can work. He robbed God, Asa did, and he trusted another king. If you live your life for yourself instead of the Lord, you'll do the same thing Asa did, and you'll finish wrong. By the way, your life don't belong to you in the first place. It belongs to King Jesus.
Amen.
Asa's decision to put confidence in the Syrians instead of God brought a response from God. Look at 2 Chronicles 16. Back to 2 Chronicles 16. Filling in the blanks. Look at verse 7. And at that time, Hananiah the seer, that's the prophet, this is a man of God, he came to Asa, king of Judah, and he said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. Now, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, He delivered them into thy hand. I mean, this is the man of God preaching. And then he says this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer. All he did was tell him the truth. And he put him in a prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Wow. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, what a sad ending for a man who had brought revival to Judah. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. Why do you get mad when you're reading the Bible and you're rebuked? Why do you get mad when the preacher says something? Boy, I'd like to throw the preacher in jail. They threw Jeremiah down in a pit. In the end, Asa did not seek the Lord for protection. He did not seek the Lord for healing, and he died. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. The great revival that started with Asa, he died trusting kings of Assyria and physicians. And he slept with his fathers. And he died in 140th year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulcher, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices prepared by the apocrypha's art. And they made a very great burning for him. Whoop-de-doop-de. You know what the people remembered? They remembered the end instead of the beginning. The great revival that started with Asa ended with seeking kings of other nations and physicians outside of the great physician to help him, and he finished badly. I tell you, Paul said it right when he said, "For I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth here is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them which love His appearing." Now, you have a choice. There is evil and there is good. There is right and there is wrong. There is rebellion and there is a heart toward God. Nobody's going to make you make that choice. Asa started great and finished bad. What's it going to be for you? Let's stand tonight. Some people are just getting started. Well, then start off good, but finish good. It is possible to start out good and to finish good. But it is also possible to start out bad and finish good. It is also possible to start out good and finish bad. Where's your heart at tonight? Lord, we need Your help tonight. Wow, what a great revival that was taking place. Even to the point that his mother made a grove and he threw her out. But it seemed at the end he got tired and began to trust in man rather than God and became diseased in his feet and died. What a sad ending to Asa, the great grandson of Solomon and the great-great-grandson of David. God, help us tonight that our heart would be turned toward You. In Christ's name, amen. 494, John's going to lead us. 494, wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Your choice tonight, your heart. What is your desire? Are you hungry for the things of God? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you read your Bible to check off a mark, or do you read your Bible to spend time with God? Hey, wherever our heart is tonight, that's where it'll lead us.